Welcome to the Profitable Content Podcast with your host Joss Speaks Digital. It's time for profitable content.
Hey there, everyone. What's up? My name is Jessica. I go by Joss Speaks Digital, as you all know. Today, we have an amazing guest on our podcast who is going to talk to us about how to be confident and show up as yourself, which I believe you do a lot. You do a lot of this in your own content, and you also teach people how to do this. So super excited to have you here. So Stephen, thank you for coming on the podcast.
What's up, Jessica? Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your business and why you started it.
Absolutely. So I've been in sales and presenting and doing public speaking types of things for a few years now. And through a comedy of errors, I got laid off from a job and then found a job in the coaching space. And from there, it kind of just ballooned. I didn't know what coaching was. I didn't know that people would invest in such things. And I didn't know that it could be so fulfilling. So I landed, again, through that comedy of errors or the universe being like, hey, I got something for you. Just follow me. And I landed there running sales for a sales coaching company. Did that for about 2 years. Loved that. Literally one of the most fulfilling and amazing professional experiences I've had to date. Like I would literally like count my lucky stars, be like, man, like what did I do to deserve an opportunity like this? Like literally every day I worked at the company. And then after about 2 years of that, I was like, I think I could do this on my own. Like, I think I could get this going. And so at the end of 2019, I was like, hey, we're going to get this moving. And I put all my ducks in a row, slid into 2020 with lots and lots of momentum. And then the world came to a close. So it's been a series of different things and experiments in willpower and in self-searching to understand where and how I fit. But I don't think I would change any of it for the world. That's the first part. So why I do what I do, though, is the main thing I like to think of, the example I usually give is, have you ever studied martial arts, Jessica, or do any of your kids?
So interesting that you say that. My dad is a huge martial arts fan, but I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I just know we watched a lot of movies growing up. So we watched a lot of kung fu movies. Of course, I know Bruce Lee, but yeah. So tell me, go ahead.
So you're qualified. You're qualified. I just want to make sure that
a bit. Like I'm like a bit.
Well, I'm no martial artist anymore, but I'll get the example I give is I never grew up doing martial arts. I always thought they were cool. My mom's like, we're not gonna teach you how to do that. And then when I was in college, I studied abroad in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, which is famous for Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And one of my friends grabbed me one day, he's like, come with me to this class, man. Just come with me. I was like, whatever. So I go to this class. And they're teaching me all these moves. My first day, and I'm not a violent person. I don't want anybody to be violent. I don't think violence is a good thing. But in this class, I learned how to break arms in three ways. First class, right? And so when I walked out on the street after that first class, and again, I'm not violent. It was just more of like, when I walked in the street, there was a different energy around me. I knew for a fact that maybe not that I could like win a fight, but if something happened, I could defend myself. And maybe I could defend those around me enough to be able to get away and get back to safety. So I use that example to say violence is, generally speaking, depending on where you live, pretty rare, but where you will always be tested is with your words. People are going to ask you and test you and say that thing that you're not prepared for and attempt to get a rise out of you, or maybe it's that colleague, or you're on a sales call or presenting to clients and then somebody says something that you're not ready for. If you don't have the tools in your tool belt to be able to give a measured response and know where you are and what your story is and how to communicate that, that in itself is some form of an act of violence, which you need to be prepared for. So I think everybody can learn the skill and needs to have that skill in a world like we're in today, where people are going to be pushing back on everything you say. And you need to be able to speak properly with confidence and to show people what it is you believe without fear.
And so I'm going to take this a little bit off the ridges a little bit. So wait a minute. Are you telling me that you weren't prepared to fight before this? Like you were, you don't think you were able to defend yourself before you had this class, or that class just gave you enough confidence to go, oh yeah, if anybody messes with me, it's on.
You know, I'm a boy and I had brothers. I have two brothers. So we grew up fighting and scrapping like you always do.
Gotcha.
But I think when you have knowledge of what to do, there's just a different energy around it. So like gotcha. Before, if something happened, I'd be like, ah, and I'd be coming at it from a defensive position as opposed to, oh no, like, look what's happening. I can read the situation and I can move in a good way that helps me get out of the situation, which I'm grateful that I have the understanding of.
Gotcha. But
violence is bad, kids. It's bad. Don't be violent.
Gotcha. Now talk to me a little bit about your nationality, because I'm sure the question of your hair, you stated that before we got started. So I'm just going to put it out there. Let's just keep it real. I'll probably get the question in the comments on Instagram or YouTube or Instagram, wherever I decide to post this and repurpose it. Oh, what nationality are you? So tell us a little bit about your background.
My nationality is, I have to ask people because everybody got a different guess.
I don't know. And I don't like to guess. That's why I like to just ask because I don't want to, you know, I hate to like offend people or be like, you know, I think the question that used to come up. Okay. But the question that used to come up a lot for a lot of people in the conversations that I've had have always been around, what are you mixed with? You know, and I know that growing up, that was a lot of the thing was like, oh, what they mix with, you know, so I hate to do that. I'd like to just ask you, oh, what's your nationality or what you identify with, or, you know, give us a little bit of context of how you grew up as well with that.
Totally get it. Well, both of my parents are from the same country, and it is a country that is not the United States, and it is heavily mixed. So it is a small island in the Caribbean by the name of Jamaica. Both my parents hail from there, and I'm a first-generation American. I was born in New York City. And because I was born to Jamaican parents, I think that informs a lot of my work ethic, obviously the food that I like, and just kind of how I have to strive to be self-sufficient. Because if you know anything about Jamaicans, they have like four jobs at all times. You're not carrying your salt as a Jamaican if you're not doing like four or five things at a time. So I always got to tell my mom, oh, I got this little new hustle coming over here. I'm working on that. I'm working on this. Because I can hear the pride in her voice, like, my son will be okay. So that's where the hair comes from. But as I tell anybody who likes the hair, and believe me, I love it too, it's a gift from my parents. Like, all that mixing up turned into this little fun thing that gets to be my signature move.
Awesome. And so you grew up in New York, you said, you're first generation. So tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Oof. Well, I'm the youngest of three boys. And we grew up in a house. So believe it or not, there are actual houses in New York City I had a backyard. We had a swing set growing up. We had a front yard. We had a driveway. And my childhood was solid, man. Like, I come from a different generation. My mom was a stay-at-home mom for most of my childhood. And my father was out working. He had his own business for a while in the marketing space. So kind of funny that I have echoed that with parts of my life as well. And they're just lovely parents. Like, I still talk to my parents every Saturday. We have a standing call. This has been going on for years and years. And sometimes it was really hard. Like, we didn't have a lot of food to eat, but I would have never known that. They never really put that down. Like, some days I remember eating popcorn, but it wasn't like we're poor. It's like, hey, let's do something different. We're gonna make popcorn for breakfast. And it was fun. But later on, I understood we just didn't have anything. And where I would say that was a beautiful experience, because like, I think when it goes back to like being able to speak your story and know where you come from and how to articulate that in the context of whatever room you're in, it really comes down to understanding that my parents were able to control a narrative to keep their kids happy, excited, and ready for the world, even though the traditional trappings of what they wanted to give us were not necessarily things that they could, but we never felt like we were lacking for that. So I got to say, shout out to my parents for everything, like everything I am, everything I know about, for the most part, I definitely owe to them. So thank you, mom and dad.
Oh, so sweet. Okay. And then, so tell me, what was like the one thing that everybody kind of came to you for? Oh, you know what? Let me rephrase that question. What was your favorite TV show growing up?
Favorite TV show growing up? The one that really stands out to me, man, I'm dating myself here, is WWF Wrestling. Like, I used to just like, don't talk to me. The world doesn't exist. And I'm watching like Hulk Hogan go against my favorite.
Yeah.
The Million Dollar Man. Ted DiBiase. Money. Yeah. That was my favorite character. Like, I don't know why.
Who was the other guy that was like the bad? He wasn't the bad guy, but he would be like, oh,
Macho Randy Savage?
Yes, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, that was definitely...
We're super old.
Young at heart. Definitely. But yeah, I watch that every Saturday, like with a bowl of cereal, just rocking out. So happy.
And what do you think attracted you to that show so much?
The aerobatics, like, it's just, there's so many colors. There's so much personality. There's people cheering around. There's like strength. It has good storylines. Like, even though they're fake, right? Like, I think anything that I would tell anybody or teach anybody or can say for any person in business, if there's any advice I'm in a position to offer as we speak together, narrative drives everything, period. So I read a statistic the other day. It's like 68% or over 60% of all things people hear are remembered if they're told through stories. The rest of it is just kind of like, yeah, whatever. So if you tell something in a story, in a narrative, you're allowing for someone to actually experience that thing. And then here's the other trick. If you realize any story you tell, it's a better way for that person who's listening to the story to tell their own story. So for example, I love Ted DiBiase. He was the millionaire wrestler, right? He had all these fancy cars and houses and he was doing really well. And his finishing move, for those who never watched it, the guy would submit, he'd knock him out, and then he'd put a $100 bill in his mouth. And I was like, wow, I want to have money like that. Like, and that was a narrative that I still remember. And this is decades ago that I watched this. But that narrative is there. It's like, oh, like, you can live a cool life. You can be really strong and go in and take care of things. And I think that's part of what attracted me to it. And also just being a rambunctious young kid who wanted to be tough. That's kind of where it started.
Yeah, and I could totally see how that kind of translates into what you do today in sales and wanting to uncover the confidence in the clients and customers that you have. So talk a little bit about that and what you do and some of your accolades as well, because you have some amazing accolades, some pretty dope ones. So talk a little bit about that.
How do I help people do? Everybody's different, but everybody's also the same. So I think it's something I read by Warren Buffett is like, no matter what crisis is happening. So if you look at the world we're in today, there have been other pandemics. There have been other extremely difficult times in the world. But what never changes is human nature. So if you bet against human nature or bet according to human nature, you'll probably come out ahead of the game and move things in the right direction that you're looking for. So to say that, what I mean by that is every person wants to show up confidently. They want to be sure of who they are and be able to express themselves, whether that's as a keynote speaker or just talking to that person at the bar or getting a discount on their coffee. Everybody wants to be able to be as self-actualized as they can. Now, perhaps they're not able to and they don't know where to start. So the first thing that I do with any person I work with, I want to understand what you want, because you don't necessarily want to be a keynote speaker, and that's fine. Maybe you're a manager of a team and you feel you're kind of an introvert and don't know how to get people onto your team and like buy into the vision. Or you have kids and you're not able to translate that story you need them to understand to go to bed at the right time. All of this is the most important part of anybody that I work with. So I need to understand what you want first. And depending on what you want, from there, we're going to work backwards on what a plan looks like to get you to acknowledge where you are. We're going to do an intake to see how you would rate yourself according to those things, because let's be honest, we need to track results. So if your confidence level is a 3 when we start, by the time we're done and we get you up to an 8, we can really see and understand what that looks like. So we're going to do intake that way. And then I have a series of different exercises that I do, conversations that we're going to run through, and might even have you write speeches or recite and practice stuff in front of me so that we can give you proper feedback, create a good narrative. And then most importantly here is, as I mentioned, unlock the stories that you personally have that can help people get on your team. And one thing that's really important to say is, and I don't think entrepreneurs or managers or most people for that matter take advantage of, is the stories of their own life. So it's the most underutilized thing, because being authentic is being who you are. So if you want to be a leader, you want people to follow you, you want people to listen, they need to know that you've listened to yourself enough to be like, hey, like, you know what? I don't have it figured out. I fell on my face yesterday and I broke my arm. And let me tell you how not to walk down the street, at least, right? Like, that gets people to be like, oh man, he doesn't have it all figured out, and that's okay. And I think that's the part a lot of people miss. So what I advise people to do is let's own that introvertedness. Let's acknowledge that introvertedness. And then let's create a way for you to use that introvertedness to tell the stories that you need to tell so that you feel confident in the way you express yourself. And once we go from there, then we can help you get to that place you ultimately want to be and make sure you're tracking in that direction.
And so you've been able to do this with how many different companies have you worked with?
I've worked with a bit over 300 companies from 17 different countries. Thank God, like that, what an opportunity. I've gotten an opportunity to work in like Istanbul, Turkey, and Puerto Rico, all over the United States, in Mexico. And just to see, as I mentioned, it's funny, like human nature across all of those places is the same. It's just the stories they tell around those traits are slightly different, which is always fun to unpack and to learn. And I've been working with New York Toastmasters. I'm on the exec board as the sergeant at arms. So what that means is I'm the face of the club. I get people excited about public speaking and telling their stories. And one thing I say is you need to find your voice. And then once you have your voice, what are you going to do with that voice? Because you don't want to die with a song in your chest. So let's make that something that you don't ever have to worry about.
If you're someone in the audience that's listening here and maybe they're thinking to themselves, how do I have enough confidence to tell my story? I know that's something that I struggle with a lot. Like what pieces I should share? Should I talk about this? Should I talk about that? And so what I do is I just don't. And I feel like there would definitely be, I feel like it would definitely be useful to a lot of people that may listen to this who maybe like, I'm just not confident. Now I got the confidence of whatever, like that's no shame in my game on that. But just as far as the storylines, how do you find the right stories and know when to tell the right story at the right time?
I love those questions. So there's the first thing is there are three questions any person should ask before they tell a story. There's three questions. And if you can answer these questions, then you can figure out what story to tell and then what to do with it. And they are as follows. The first one is, what does your audience want to learn or achieve? So from conversations you and I have had already, Jessica, let's say we start talking about video and why video is important for you, right? What does your audience want to learn about video or about why video is important? And we make that, and literally what I do and I advise people to do about this is get a sheet of paper. Pen and paper are your friends. Get out of the computer. Get into your body and your brain, because that's going to help you express and emote the important things. So write down on the sheet of paper, what does your audience want to learn or achieve? So for you, maybe how to show up confidently on video and grow your business through video. Let's just say that's an example. So that's what they want to learn.
Hold on. I have a whole example for you. Hold on. I have a real-time example. Okay. So she said, I would definitely love to learn how to bring my personality into my content without looking like it was all scripted.
Okay. All right. So I like this. This is simple. More or less through framework. It's going to take practice. But the first question, so what does your audience want to learn or achieve? The second question, what do you want your audience to feel? So you need to label the emotions. So when I'm talking about this is literally like, if you want people to feel FOMO, you need to be able to label like, hey, they want to learn about video and we need to make sure that they feel like they're missing something by not doing video by the end of this. And then the third question to answer is, what do you want your audience to do after they know the story? So do you want them to sign up for a course, give you an email, tell you about their friends, share the video, subscribe to your channel? Have all of those ready to go before you tell any story. So to answer the question about how to show up your personality, here's the thing. There's three stories everybody has that nobody else could ever tell. Like, even if we went through the exact same life, we lived on the same street, went to all the same parties, same school, knew everybody, we'll never be able to tell the same story. And that makes you a person who has literally no competition, because the people that are for you are for you. And they're based on these three things. So for the person who has a question, how do you show up with your personality and it's not scripted? Three stories you have. Number one, an origin story. Where did that crazy trait that you are? Are you stubborn and you don't quit? Where did that come from? Like, or maybe you're a hard worker. What family member helped you stoke that fire to be a hard worker? Or like, what made you want to get involved with entrepreneurs and work in marketing? Where did that come from? you could tell that story because as you tell it, you could feel the fire and the passion coming out because it's like, man, this is real to me. So if you just know the title of the story or the story you want to tell and you just tell it as it's happening, now you are actually living in that moment again and helping people realize what that is. So the first is an origin story. I'll pause there before I tell the other two if you have a question.
No, I think it's good. And I think you're right on the ball with it. It feels a little bit like Ada, right? And so are you using Ada with this?
I don't know what Ada is.
It's attention. Hold on, let me get the correct so I don't say it incorrectly. So guys are going to hear typing because I'm going to type that in. So it is awareness, interest, desire, action.
Awareness, interest, desire, action. I'm not using that, but fair. It definitely applies. Definitely applies.
Okay. Because Ada is what we use a lot in like video is to use that attention and then the interest and all that good stuff. And I have to tell you, I'm stubborn. I don't use it all in sequence. Sometimes I take it out of whack. But it really makes sense to go back to your origin story and talk a little bit about that. And I think one thing for me is I always hit emotion. I always know the emotion I want to get out of someone. And that's usually happy or laughter. You know, I want it to be uplifting, all that good stuff. Yes. When I do anything, it's always the end result is always going to be you're going to feel good after watching me. So keep going. What's number two?
That's right. I love that. And that's your signature move, right? It's like, I'm with Jessica. I'm refreshed, right? That's super important. So origin story is number one. The second is story of adversity. Did you suffer a great loss? Did something really hard happen to you? Like, how did that make you feel? Everybody who's potentially a customer, a friend, or an associate, they've been through something tough too. The fact that you can own that tough thing happened to you and show a pathway for how you got past that, that makes you so relatable. That makes you like, there's no script there. You can just literally tell that story like, hey, I went through this really hard thing. I didn't know if I was gonna make it. And now here I am, and here's how I got there. That makes people be like, ah, I can get through tough things as well. And then the third is stories of aspiration. The bigger the aspiration, the bigger the goal, the bigger the crowd, more people can believe in you. So know what it is you want to achieve and be able to label that. And that works in two ways. Number one, I love The Alchemist. It's a book I read every year. So the universe conspires to help you achieve what you want once you speak it into existence. So if you could talk that talk and say, I want X, the universe is now listening and X can start to flow your way because you've acknowledged that's something you want. And other people who want X also will be like, oh, I like that. Let's pay attention to her. And that helps you go that way. So the three stories, origin, know who you are, where you came from, or why a certain trait is important. Know where you came from with adversity, what's something hard you went through. And then know what you want to achieve. And those are things that make you instantly relatable because every human has those same three things. And as I mentioned at the top of this program as well, your stories are just a device to help your listeners tell their own story better. And once you get that, you'll never show up nervous or scared because you're like, I'm here to give this story to them so that they understand better how they feel and what they want to achieve.
And so tying that into the original part of the question, which is around like, how do you tell this story confidently, right? For this individual who's stating that, because I have gotten permission to share this person's name, so I won't. But for this individual who is talking about like personality and stuff, I know what I would tell her to do along with telling the story, you know, either one of these stories, what else would you tell this person? What would you tell them to do?
I'd say practice. Find a good friend who you really like or really trust and just be like, or just call Jessica and be like, yo, hey, can I just run this quick by you? Like, this is what I'm thinking of telling. Does this make sense? Does this hit those three questions that I want to answer? Like, that's the first thing I would say. Public speaking or showing up authentically or non-scripted is all about practice. That's it. That's the number one thing. You're nervous for two reasons. You're afraid of being judged or you're unprepared. And if you are afraid of being judged, that means you don't understand that you're just helping them tell their story better. So that one we can put off. So you're just unprepared. So if you've got to read off a script and you come off all like jankety, that means you just didn't practice enough. And I don't have a bigger trick for you to tell you other than you need to practice. So that's the first thing I would do. The second thing I would say is don't work off of a script. Write an outline. Know the beats of the story. And then you can have your outline up, you can consult it as well, but if you don't memorize it, it's more real. And that comes off the right way that you want, because you're not an actor, you are a speaker. An actor memorizes and recites things back and forth. And if you have everything memorized, what I find is if something happens outside of, like if a light drops or like somebody honks their horn, you're lost and you have to remember where you are in that page, and you just don't look right. So I say an outline's your best friend. How about you? What would you say, Jessica?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, and I'm glad you went there, because that's exactly what I would have said about fear. It's really just that lack of faith and being involved in the fear and being really truthfully too married to the fear, right? And you have to really divorce the fear. And I hate to even use those terms because marriage and divorce, but you really have to find ways that you can come across as being yourself. I know for myself, I don't use scripts. I've tried to use them because, you know, when you first get into this, you get everybody that tells you, use a script or use a teleprompter. And I was like, this is not working. Exactly. Instead, I'm going, you have to go and try Instagram. And it's like, that never works. That never worked for me. And I felt robotic. So with that, I was like, you know what? How about I get rid of all of that stuff and actually just do this off the cuff? And instead, I tell a lot of my students and a lot of my clients, just be you and talk about what you know. Because when you know it, it's already up here. You don't need to script it out, all that good stuff. I love what you said about an outline. I think that there's some people that do need that outline. Even when I do the outline, I'll still go like, okay. And so I think I can't even do the outline. I have to just really just go in on what I know. And just like, oh yeah, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if I don't know it, I need to go research it until I get it enough to where I can talk about it now. So that would be my take on it, is to let go of the fear. Once again, I'm going to use the whole divorce and marriage thing because I feel like the people just understand that. And until I find a better way to say that, Stephen, maybe you can help me with that. I have to find a better way to put that into an analogy? Yeah.
Analogy,
thank you. See if I can move all over my words, because I do not like the marriage and divorce one. But anyway, that would be what I would say to her, is you really need to find a way to get on camera and talk what you know.
Yeah, I'd add one other part to this. And we spoke about this a little bit last week, is like, I have a YouTube channel. I put videos out every day. But here's the thing, like most of them have low views, if any views at all. And nobody's watching you until they're watching you. So what you want to do is just start, because I think today's 136 in a row I put out a video. But if you went back and watched video one, I think I'm pretty decent on camera already. But if you look at the difference between video one and video 136, you're going to be like, wow, what a difference. Right? I understand how to make a video, how to like position myself, how to speak into it and everything like that. Most people probably won't see that first video, but by the time people are watching, I've got more confidence. I know what I'm doing and I know how to show up as me the best way possible. And it wasn't that way when I started. So for anybody who's nervous, scared, upset, frightened, just turn the camera on and you don't even have to publish it. You don't even have to. Just get that first one out. And then I'm going to tell you after that first one's done to just publish it, because nobody's watching. So you have nothing to be afraid of.
And the thing is what's the worst thing that can happen too, is another question that I always bring up to my clients. It's like, the worst thing is, and it's like, okay, now what's the probability of that happening? You're like, yeah, probably none. Like, yeah, probably none. So you're psyching yourself out of a blessing that can come to you before you even get started because of the things that may not happen, instead of focusing on the things that could happen. And the things that could happen are much more likely to happen than the things that, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, if that happens, it's just going to be the end of life as we know it. You know, it's like, the things that would happen because you stepped out and done and did it would be so much more great. It's just the blessing in it. So
I love that you brought
that in. Yeah, it's
all
believe
upside.
Me, 100%. The fact that I could put out stuff and do things on Instagram, even with the kids in the background or running around, whatever, that actually is what's gotten a response. Versus me being very, you know, in a nice setting with a great background, with, you know, great audio and all that good stuff. It's like the one video I did on my phone, like in the moment with my kids running around, was the one that everybody's like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so, that's you, right?
And I think it's because it's relatable, right? It's relatable. It's in real time. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. With your clients and the folks that you work along with, what is like the one thing that keeps them from doing video?
I find that people, well, it's the one thing. I think it's like three things, but I think it's fear is the biggest one. And then if I may give two more answers, I'm going to. The second is that they don't think it'll work. So they don't know what that looks like. And then if they are afraid it will work, they don't want to stick with it. So they'll put one video out or two or 10 and just be like, ugh, nothing's happening here. This isn't worth it. And when you have those three things combined, you just have a big pie of doubt. And again, I can't promise you that it will work. I can't promise you that it will get you huge results and you'll get tons of customers, but I can damn sure promise you if you don't do it, you'll get nothing. So like the other thing with speaking and stories and being in front of people and showing how you actually are and show up, like I said, you don't have competition because people can see how you actually are. Like I've had people hit me up, be like, man, like I've watched a bunch of your videos. Like even today, I had a guy hire me today. He's like, yo, I've been watching you on YouTube and I don't have a lot of views. But I was like, he's like, yo, I knew I wanted to work with you. I've watched a bunch of your videos. I know you have good insights and you'll be a great help to me. And I was like, whoa.
How many subscribers do you have?
74 subscribers as of today. Hopefully, yeah. I have like nothing. It's almost a joke.
And but that's what I'm saying, though. I want you to go in on that. So I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
no, we can totally go in on that. Like I was jumping up and down. I was like, yes, how come there's got somebody's hiring me, right? But this is the thing. If I quit after 10 videos, I wouldn't have that conversation with anybody. And then if I quit after 15 videos, I wouldn't have that conversation. But the simple fact is, this is why I think video is like the hack of all hacks. Like, or cheat code, if you want to call it that. And I think you'll agree with me here too, is I put out a video every day, like I mentioned, 136 days at the time of this recording, every single day. Go to my Facebook page, you can see it. Go to my YouTube, stuff is going out every single day. And what that says to me first is it's like, Steven, you show up for yourself. And for me as a marker, whether I get one view, no views, 10 views, 100 views, it's just like, I showed up for myself today and I'm being consistent with my mission to just put something out every single day that's going to be valuable and allow people to know me, right? Sales or anything is about know, like, and trust. And the more times and more energy you put into helping people know you and the more times they see you means they're like, maybe I'll like you. And if they like you and see that you're consistent all the time, they can trust that you will be consistent for them too in whatever it is that you offer. So when I say video's the hack, it don't have to be a 10-minute video that has a massive like edited thing that's back and forth and like 17 different cameras. If you got time and budget for that, then go for it. But all you need to do, you could do a 1 minute like, hey, this is my one tip for public speakers for the day, every day. Or film 20 of them on Monday and then have them scheduled and go out like I do. Just do that every single day and people are gonna notice and say, yes, you're the person. You show up all the time. And I can respect that you're going to show up for me if I need you. And that's why it's the hack. It just takes a little bit of time. You got to fill that machine with oil and gas or whatever. And then eventually it just doesn't stop. And I figured that out. And you definitely figured it out.
And you know, so you said earlier that there was no way to really gauge whether or not it will work for you. I want to tell you 100% it will work for you. How long it will take for it to work for you is a different topic, but it will work for you. Somebody, and it doesn't matter how, and I'm going to say this in a nice way, dry you are or boring you are. Like if you have literally no personality, because that's a big question that I get a lot. This question that we talked about, I get that actually often. It's like, I want it to be fun, you know, and they're afraid that I'm a professional. And if I'm too funny or too, you know, people won't hire me, but actually it's the opposite. What you'll end up getting is you'll end up getting your perfect and your ideal customer just by being yourself. So if you are laid back and low key and you feel like it's boring, someone else may actually see that and go, oh, wow, this is my type of person. You will get some type of return. I've gotten DMs and LinkedIn messages from people that are like, I just watched one of your videos and I knew I had to connect with you. I actually haven't even worked with these people, but it's helped me build out my network to where I have access to people that actually, I mean, these are dope individuals, like some really high profile individuals. And I'm like, oh, wow, they watch my stuff.
And then I want to ask, you don't have that much, how many followers do you have, right?
Yeah, I have almost 300 subscribers, but not a lot at all.
Not a lot at all.
It's not the 1,000 or the whatever, you know, that a lot of people would deem. And so I've been toying around with this whole concept of the celebrity effect, right? And so with the celebrity effect, as content creators, and I'm going to call myself, and I'm calling you one too, because you make a lot of videos. As a content creator, marketer, however you want to categorize yourself, you get that return. You actually get all the benefits of an actor without having to do all the work. So the celebrity effect is just about you showing up every day, week, because you don't have to be every day, but hey, you do you. If that's what you want to do, you do you.
Sure.
But it can be weekly, but it's just being consistent in the way that you show up. And I used to hate that word, consistent, but it really is, because this consistent doesn't mean that it has to be all the time, like just daily, just in your face. It means that you're going to show up once a week, once a month, but you're going to do it every week, every month, every day, if that's your thing, so on and so forth. So I just wanted to make sure that we talked a little bit about that, that we do get all of the benefits of the actors without all the work when utilizing video, because it just helps you build that connection stronger and faster than any other medium that I've seen. But podcasting is a good one as well. But to our point that we talked about last time around like Clubhouse, that is Clubhouse in a nutshell. Instead of it being video, it's audio, but the fact that you're showing up consistently and sharing your voice and telling your story, you make an instant connection and it converts.
Definitely converts. I wanted to add another hack actually for somebody who's scared about their personality not showing up. When we mention, hey, test it out on a friend in practice, one suggestion I got when I was like much more nervous about being on camera than I am now, call up your best friend, put them on FaceTime, turn the camera on and talk just like you're talking to your friend. Literally, because you are talking to your friend. And then you could just tell them, like, don't respond. I'm going to put you on mute, but I want to talk this thing out. And then you're going to be like, just being who you are. And you could put that out. That's not cheating. That's being who you are. And then once you see that and that response, that's going to let you know, oh, like, I can just show up. And that's what people want at the end of the day. And then to your other point, too, I always tell my clients, consistency is the silver bullet, because everybody else is going to quit after 5, after 1, after 10. And if you continue to do it, no matter what it is, if it's once a week, as long as you keep doing it, you're going to win. It's just a matter of time.
Absolutely. And you're giving away my hack there. I actually do that with a lot of my clients. We hop on a Zoom call and I mute myself and I ask them questions and they respond to those questions. And they talk to me and then we use that video as content. And also another thing that I've told them to do as well, if they're doing a live stream or video that they want to do on like Instagram or something like that, because they want the video to be, what is it, portrait? Yes, portrait. I tell them to put up a picture of their ideal client. So for me, my ideal client is Gina from Martin. So you can be a TV character. It can be whoever that fits that characteristic and that profile. And you speak directly to that person as though you're giving them a consultation or answering their question. And that has worked amazing as well. So you just print out a picture of them, post it, you know, tape it to the wall or whatever, put your phone in front of you and you speak directly to them.
Love it. Flawless.
Yeah. So it's a really cool hack. So you're giving away all my secrets here. Moving along to what you do today in ways that people can work with you. What has been, you stated that YouTube has been a good, Facebook. Mm-hmm. You stated that you're scheduling. How are you scheduling your Facebook post on your personal profile? Are you going in and actually posting onto your personal profile?
Manually posting, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, because they took away that option. So yeah. Wow.
I can only schedule group posts. Yeah. For whatever reason. But every day, whether it's 9 in the morning or 11 at night, something goes up. And I'm staying consistent. But the product is ready. The product is ready. So it's just a matter of putting it up there, which makes things a little easier.
And where are you posting? On what platforms are your videos on?
So far, it is Facebook and it is YouTube. And then I'm building out 30 days of content that I will schedule for Instagram. And then I think I will be doing some stuff on TikTok here in a short while as well. So that's the other thing, right? For anybody who's curious about video or just showing up consistently, one thing that really struck me heavily, besides just being stuck in the house a lot of last year, was that while I wasn't closing all the business that I wanted, I had to really sit down with myself and say, okay, this sucks. And you're not the only one who has to deal with something like this, but what decision can you make today that Steven in 5 years is going to be extremely happy that you made the decision? Because if money isn't coming in, right, or on the level that you want, you can fret about it. You can go hunt for the money, which I did for a little while. And I saw when you force seldom creates flow, but flow always creates force. So I said, all right, well, if I'm not getting bookings all the time, or I'm not booking as many calls as I want, people are going to be seeing me everywhere. Let's just make sure you see me, because by the time you're ready, like this example, this person on YouTube, never met them before, and they're like, hey, like, I need to work with you. I don't know when they got into that video train. I don't know which video they saw or which videos they saw. There's hundreds of them now. But the fact that I was like, yo, I'm just going to put this out here and I'm going to keep going, that got me to a way better place. And because it's not a big deal for me to do that now, 5 years from now, when we watch this again, it's going to be like, yo, look what I was able to do because I just filmed a video one day and didn't quit. So that's something I would really just encourage people to say, do that decision today. Think about you in 5 years. Are you still going to be calling Jessica? You're going to be calling me and be like, man, I'm scared to get on video. And if you are, I'm sorry for you because you just made a decision to not act on it.
So talk to me a little bit about how to sell on video, because obviously you know how to sell on video if you had someone that's reached out to you by watching how many videos they've made. You know, video marketing, I always say, is like the employee that you don't have to pay. It works 24/7 for you. And it's always on, right? It's always bringing in new people. Attention is your number one currency, regardless. Attention, getting the attention of the people that you need to see you and getting in front of them. So what are some ways that folks, or some strategies or tips that you have that you can share with our audience on how they should sell on video?
So first things first, iPapa, have those three questions ready. So what do you want? What does the audience want to learn to achieve? What emotions do you want them to feel? And what do you want them to do next? And then pack a narrative around that and tell people a story and unpack it. So what works well in speaking in general is three. Think about three things. Here's three tips that you can use for your marketing funnel to show up more confidently on video. Tip one, eat carrots. Number two, wear glasses. Number three, have great hair. And then tell them what you want them to do. If you have any questions about how to eat carrots, show up more confidently on video, and how to market yourself better, feel free to send me a DM or type a comment below and we can talk about how we're working on this with our program. Give all the value first, structure it in a clear and concise way, and label the emotion you want people to feel and continue to practice that, and then tell them what to do next. This is something I see people fail at all the time, and I've failed at it many times.
I was just about to say that I see so many people fail.
Like, it's really hard to ask for what you want because sometimes you're not sure. But think about it. If you're on video, you're on video for a reason. And it's not just to be more confident. Maybe you have a program you're selling. Maybe you're working at an office or you work for a company and you want to show that you're worth that promotion and you want your people who are reporting to you to work harder. Whatever that thing is, you need to know why you're doing this. And if that's present to you, your why is important and right in front of you. Now, all you need to do is say, okay, I know why I'm doing this. Let's jump in and get it started. And I think if you just do that, you can't lose because everybody else is not doing anything.
What do you do to prepare before your videos? Are there any rituals or any things that you do to prepare yourself before you record your videos?
I'm a freestyler as well. So I'll write down a series of topics, or I'll source topics from people on my groups or comments or whatever, ask what people want to hear about. I'll do some research and find important stats or bullet points. And then I would turn on the camera and just get rolling and let it fly. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. All right. So last question here. What is one thing you would want everyone to know about you and video marketing or sales, what is one thing you want everyone to know about just you in general as a business owner, as the face of your, you're the face in the brand of your business as well, correct?
I'm the face in the brand.
Yes. What is one thing you would want them to know?
Solve, don't sell.
That is a huge one. That is a huge one. I feel like that gets missed so much. And it's also the reason why I feel like I don't sell as much in my videos. But after this interview, I may start to do a lot more selly type videos because I never want to come off as the others, you know, those folks that do that kind of stuff, right? They're on video and they're like, yeah, so if you want to make $5,000 in just 30 minutes, go ahead and buy my program at blah, 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 you know? Whereas when you said it, it was very much, you know, just relaxing, like, hey, if you need more help, you know, so yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you and connect with you? Of course, they know YouTube, but and what's the name of your YouTube channel?
Everything for me on every channel is Stephen Steers. Some of them have an underscore. So Stephen Steers underscore, all one word, Stephen spelled with a PH. My hair will be there. You can't miss it.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on, Stephen. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And thank anybody who's here listening. Watch out for Jaw Speaks. She's got some game.